Dr. Arthur Perry, he's one of the top plastic surgeons. He's got offices in Manhattan, New Jersey. You know, and he's been doing a show here on WOR for years and years and years. Very popular show and a great plastic surgeon. Everybody has questions on this subject, so he's the guy to ask. Dr. Arthur Perry.
John, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
And I went to his office, and I said, look at my face. He goes, yeah, look at your face. We're going to do with your face. What can you do with his face? I go like that. I swear to God. I go, look at this. I'm getting old. Like I said, I want to maybe you could fix it up a little bit.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry, the best in plastic surgery.
Remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And I hope you've all had a wonderful week and a nice weekend. Not too bad. A little bit cloudy, but still the UV index is high. So I hope you're using your sunscreen. Well, I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, hosted the show for a long time now, and I want to thank you for listening tonight, and I hope you've been listening for the last 15 or 16 years, however long it's been. Well, this is the show about you, the show about what you look like. This is the show that you need when you look in the mirror or into the camera now on Zoom and don't quite like what you're seeing. So maybe it's wrinkles, maybe it's jowls. Maybe it's not the best complexion. Maybe it's some splotchiness. Or maybe you look, you step back from the camera and you see that your breasts are drooping or maybe too small. Or you have got that fat around the hips. Or after pregnancy, well, your belly protrudes. This is a show to call. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry and host of this show. The phone number here at WOR. We're live, as we are almost all the time, with some rare exceptions. 800-321-0710 is the phone number, 800-321-0710. I've got a great show planned for you tonight. I've got a very special guest, Dr. Ira Jacobson, is coming on in a little while. Those of you who have had the all-star colonoscopy by Dr. Jacobson, you know him. He's going to be talking about that and hepatitis and things that are fascinating to me. So we'll have him on in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about a problem, another problem in Florida. Boy, it's the kind of the poster child of bad plastic surgery problems. And this is a case that I'm going to need to talk about in detail, and it's not a good one, so you're going to want to listen in so that you can stay safe with your cosmetic surgery. And we're going to talk about maybe, you know, the epidemic that we're, how can I not talk about the pandemic, the COVID pandemic? I won't rail about the masks this week. Noah says, you know, how much do I have to talk about that? You all know to wear your masks, and you know which ones are good now. So I've talked about that till I'm masked in the face, blue in the face, but certainly it's very, very important. But I do want to mention that plastic surgery is actually more popular now because of the epidemic. It's a really strange thing that's happening in my field. You know, most of medicine has kind of been lower in numbers. I said that very poorly, but people aren't going to the doctor during the epidemic. I know that pediatric admissions are way down. Elective surgery is way down. Unfortunately, and take this with the understanding of what I'm going to say, cancer diagnoses are down, and that's not because cancer's down. That's because people are not getting their screening tests. That's because people are not going to see their doctors. But yet, in the middle of all this, cosmetic surgery is increasing in popularity, and it's just an interesting phenomenon. I'm very, very busy in my practice now. We're booked up with surgery way up ahead, and lo and behold, so are other plastic surgeons. So are most of us in the United States, and I think the phenomenon of being pent up in your apartment, in your house, and maybe doing a lot of meetings and talking to people over FaceTime. I got one of those Facebook portal devices, which has a very good camera. It shows everything, and it follows you around the room. It's really pretty interesting. But when you Zoom, when you do these things, you know, people are seeing you. And I always tell my patients, well, if you don't like what you look like, put a little Vaseline on the camera and people will just think it's a malfunction. No, but seriously, people are coming in and they're having their surgery. This is a great time to have cosmetic surgery. It really is interesting. Interesting because the recovery period can be incorporated into your work schedule. If you're working from home, you only need to take a few days off. Isn't that interesting? If you let's say you have a facelift normally, people take 2 weeks off of work before they even think of going back. But now you can go back to work because you'll feel fine, oh, 3, 4, 5 days after the facelift. You don't look so good. So maybe you put the video off or do that little trick. Do the Vaseline on the camera or talk about the malfunction of the camera while you're on, and you can go about your business. You can go to work very soon after having even a facelift or a laser procedure or certainly fillers. And remember, you're wearing your mask outside. You better be wearing your mask if you listen to this show. You're wearing your mask outside, and so because of that, if you have any bruising around your mouth or if you wear one of those extended masks or... oh, the bandanas. I don't like the bandanas because they don't do what they're supposed to do, and that came out this week also. But if you do wear those bandanas, then you're covering up a good part of your face. And my goodness, you can have all sorts of surgery and be completely covered. So it is an interesting phenomenon in cosmetic surgery that we are busier than we've been before the epidemic. Very, very interesting. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. I did want to mention that we're giving away bottles of Daytime. Daytime is the SPF 20. It's actually a 23 sunscreen. It's a skin protector. It's a sunscreen. It's got vitamins B5 and B3, pantothenic acid, and niacinamide in it to help strengthen the skin barrier. We're giving away bottles to callers tonight. And we've got a really good special also going on. And that special is unusual. And what it is you get 3 daytimes for $50. Now, normally that's a lot more. But these daytimes, they're perfectly good. The expiration date, and I'm open about this, is November. So you have plenty of time to use it. But we are well overstocked in the warehouse. We've got so many bottles that, well, I figured, you know, let's put them on sale. Let's have you use them at those prices. You can use the daytime for your body. It's an SPF 20, as I said, which is good for almost everything. You can put it on your children. There are no endocrine disruptors in my sunscreen. So you have to use the stock up code. And we're also sending you the free KN95 mask. Well, boy, that's a good one, isn't it? You actually get the skin protection and the lung protection when you purchase. We've got our hands on a bunch of these KN95s. It's not an unlimited supply. So we're going to limit, let's say, to the next 100 or so people that that order. And then we'll have to put an end to that because we don't have an unlimited supply of the KN95 masks. All right. We've got Joe on the line. Joe, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Hello, Dr. Perry. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Joe. How are you?
Pretty okay. No one needs the raise. He's a good guy. Listen, in the meantime, I have the decision to make about whether it's sun therapy, because I'm trying to relocate to Florida once it's no longer the epicenter, as we were, of COVID-19. And sun therapy, as opposed to the ultraviolet, you know, the light therapy at the VA hospital, they're kind of mum about, you know, the side effects.
And you're talking, Joe, I missed what you said. I don't know if you said, why are you getting the sun therapy or the ultraviolet therapy?
Because I have 13 dermatological ailments, including psoriasis, vulgaris, on 80% of my body. In the U.S. military.
Okay. All right. So what's your question for me?
In your expert opinion, Doc, which is safer?
I can't give you an opinion on that one. I'm sorry. I love to give opinions on things, but I think you really need the opinion of the dermatologist treating you, and I hope you have a good one. Because if you've got a number of dermatologic conditions of your skin, including psoriasis, yes, ultraviolet therapy, yes, sunlight therapy, they're effective. Which one is better for you? I don't have a clue, but I'm sure your dermatologist does. So you really do, Joe. You really have to go to a good dermatologist, trust them. while you're in New York before you move down to that that country, that place in Florida, wherever wherever you're going. Why are you going to Florida? Wherever you're going there, go to the dermatologists at New York Presbyterian. They're an excellent group, or at NYU, or there are so many great dermatologists in New York City. I hope you have one. But, you know, I'd love to answer your question, but I just can't.
Dr. Perry, you'd be a godsend at the VA.
You know, the last time I worked in a VA was as a medical student up in Albany. And, boy, I remember in those days, the wards, the VA, with 40 people in the same room. That was only in the 1980s. Can you imagine that? I hope there's better privacy now in the VA hospitals.
Well, I'm sure that you made a difference for the better while you were there.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. It's a pleasure talking to you, and good luck. And I do understand why people are moving to Florida. My goodness, New York has so many issues now, you know, between the crime and the taxes and everything else. Well, I'm sorry to see you go, but boy, I know that there's an article, I think, in the Times today about the efflux of people out of New York. It's a real shame. I love New York, did for so long, and I hope it gets restored to its former self. Well, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is WOR's What's Your Wrinkle program. 800-321-0710 is the phone number. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back after these words.
Did you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my complete skincare regimen at half price. Normally, this is $150, but for WOR listeners, it's $75 plus shipping. One product in the morning and one in the evening, moisturize and clean. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that soon your friends and relatives will be asking, "What are you doing to look so good?" Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR. Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Juvederm and fill wrinkles, and I restore lips to what they used to look like. No duck lips here. And I creatively smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines. You might benefit from chemical peels or lasers to reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate your skin, or Althera to thicken your crepey skin. And for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scarf face and neck lifts. Let's sit down for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. My offices are in Somerset, New Jersey, and on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Give me a call at 732-422-9600. That's 732-422-9600. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And I hope you're having a wonderful weekend. I have a really special guest coming up in just a minute. I've got Dr. Ira Jacobson on the line. Now, Dr. Jacobson is a gastroenterologist. That's a GI doctor. He's an internal medicine doctor. I met Dr. Jacobson way back when I was the burn fellow at New York Hospital in the 1980s. I think I was in high school at the time, and I met Dr. Jacobson. He was a junior faculty member, and he has had the most stellar career that I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. Dr. Jacobson, are you there?
I'm right here.
I want to thank you for taking time on your Saturday evening. So way back in the old days when you were at Cornell and I was at Cornell, you know, you went on to become the chief of GI at Cornell, and right now you are the chief of Hepatology of Liver Disease at NYU. And now Dr. Jacobson has had an incredible background, and he's very, very modest. He did a fellowship at Mass General, which is across the street from where I trained in Boston, a wonderful place. He was got his MD up at Columbia, but we don't hold that against. I'm on the faculty there. Of course, it's a great place. So, and Ira is now at NYU, and he's on this week because for very personal reasons, you know, I talk a lot about my own medical history, and Ira did my colonoscopy a week and a half ago, and thankfully, he said it was all okay. So, Ira, thank you for a wonderful colonoscopy.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for the entree, because legally I couldn't have brought that up if you hadn't.
Well, you know, I talk, you know, HIPAA is very important, privacy is important, but we can always talk about ourselves. We can't talk about other people. So Ira Jacobson is one of the great liver disease specialists in the world, and was actually in the group that helped cure hepatitis C. So Ira, tell us a little bit about that. I know you've spent decades working on liver disease. Tell us about how this happened.
Well, I always had a fascination for the liver. It's a marvelous organ, even though it works very silently and we all take it for granted. But when things go wrong, lots of things can happen to the patient's health, and it can even be life-threatening complications if you develop advanced scarring of the liver, which we call cirrhosis. So I took that interest in liver disease in particular and gastroenterology in general, and I did my fellowship at a place where I had a wonderful mentor with whom I spent a year writing papers and seeing patients, but doing very little else. It was one of the most productive years of my life way back in 1983-84. And when I came to Cornell, I brought with me this continued fascination with the liver, and especially with viral liver disease, although, of course, there are many types of liver disease that are all very interesting and very important. And as a very young faculty member, I managed to knock on enough doors to get myself incorporated into the then small but growing group of people who were interested in doing research on hepatitis B and what was then called non-A, non-B hepatitis, which in 1989 turned out to be hepatitis C when the causative virus was finally discovered after many years of searching. That got me into the initial interferon trials. Interferon is a natural human protein that has various immunologic and antiviral effects. And we started using it in the mid to late 1980s in clinical trials for both of those types of viral hepatitis, B and C. And soon enough, we had completed our work. We had a very prominent New England Journal of Medicine paper on each of the two kinds of hepatitis. Interferon was approved, but it was a very modest effectiveness. We added other drugs, in particular one called ribavirin in the late 1990s. The field evolved over about 20 years, taking incremental steps, but never getting us to home plate by any means, with still moderate rates of success and quite a few side effects. And then the world changed in around 2011 when the first papers were published showing that without interferon, but with what are called specifically targeted or direct-acting antiviral agents, DAAs for short, we could cure just about everybody. And it was a marvelous quantum leap because we went from what I had thought would happen, which were low rates of success eradicating a virus, which is a remarkable thing to be able to do, with incremental steps, sort of like iPhones every year that improve a little bit, and there's the iPhone this and the iPhone that. And instead, we had this marvelous leap to nearly universal cure rates, so that by 2014, we were treating everybody with very easy-to-take pills instead of injections of interferon, and that got us into this medical nirvana state that we're in right now, where we can cure just about everybody with a minimum of side effects.
Very exciting story,
and I was very happy to have a seat at the table.
It really is an incredible story, and as someone, you know, I've been in medicine since I graduated medical school in 1981, and boy, I'll tell you, for people in medicine, hepatitis C was one of the scariest things. I remember being at one of the plastic surgery meetings where a plastic surgeon who caught hepatitis C from one of his patients died of it, was telling his story. And I'll tell you, everybody in the audience of a couple thousand plastic surgeons was very quiet listening to this, and it was very, very scary. So the fact that this fatal disease is now curable is really quite remarkable. And the world owes so much to you and your team and the rest of the researchers who have actually done, you know, just an incredible thing. So thank you on behalf of all of us and in plastic surgery.
Thank you. Of course, there's another very bad virus out there right now, and we'd like to repeat the same thing, but in much shorter time.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've harped on this show week after week for people to wear their masks, because you walk down the streets of Manhattan and you still see people not wearing their masks. I guess they must be immune to it, Ira. So
I don't think so. They're immune to being thoughtful and sensitive and considerate about it. I'll be editorial about it, too. Yeah. I've gotten used to holding my breath a lot as I get near people transiently who are not wearing masks, and give myself 10 feet before and 10 feet after encountering such persons to take a breath again, which, of course, is taking it a little far, but that's the way I respond to it.
And I agree totally with you. So now here we are. It's 2020, the year 2020. We still have hepatitis C, but we have drugs for it. No vaccine yet. Is there a vaccine on the horizon for that one?
For hepatitis C, Arthur?
Yes.
No. Some viruses are much harder to make vaccines against than others. We hope it'll be much easier, of course, for COVID-19. And that has to do with the stability or lack thereof of the what are called the amino acid sequences of the viral proteins on the surface of the virus. Remember, proteins are like chains, and the links in the chain are called amino acids. And if a virus has a lot of variability in the amino acid sequences, like hepatitis C does or HIV does, for example, the result, as you can see from the evolution of the field in both of those viruses, is that we don't have a vaccine after many, many years of study. We have a very different situation, fortunately, with viruses like hepatitis A and B. And heaven willing, we'll have the same thing with COVID-19.
Great. So now that you're talking about hepatitis A, and a lot of listeners don't really understand the differences between hepatitis A and B and C. So tell us, you know, how does someone get hepatitis A, for instance?
Hepatitis A used to be called infectious hepatitis, which was a misnomer because they're all infectious. They're all, by their nature, viral infections. I think it got that name because it's so readily transmissible. Hepatitis A is transmitted by what we call the fecal-oral route. The virus is shed in enormous quantities in stools, and so environments become contaminated with this relatively stable virus that can survive in dry environments or get passed from one person to another just by touch. You don't need to have what's called parenteral exposure or exposure to bodily fluids like blood and other bodily fluids that are required for transmission of hepatitis B. Hepatitis A and B are biologically very different viruses. They're in completely different viral families. The one thing they do have in common is that they infect the liver. But a critical distinction is that hepatitis B can cause chronic liver disease, and there are about 250 million people in the world who have chronic hepatitis B and are at risk of scarring their livers with late complications, whereas hepatitis A can cause a very nasty acute disease and rarely even life-threatening or fatal disease, but it does not cause chronic liver disease.
And there is a vaccine for both of those now, correct?
There has been for a long time, yes.
So now I know everybody is supposed to get the hepatitis B vaccine, particularly. I remember I was in that experimental group way back as an intern in 1981. I received the hepatitis B vaccine. And I don't know if I ever told you the story about me. In 1985, when I was a plastic surgery resident at the University of Chicago, I scrubbed in on a case with two other plastic surgery residents, and the patient turned yellow 2 weeks after the case. Turned out he had fulminant hepatitis B, and my two fellow residents then 6 weeks later turned yellow, and I did not. And I was the one that had the experimental vaccine. They did not. Fortunately, they did okay with it. But it's a real lesson to me that that vaccine may have saved my life.
Arthur, you're absolutely right. And actually, the development of the hepatitis B vaccine ranks as one of the great medical developments of the 20th century. It's a long and very interesting story, and I would invite your readers to read on it if they like. But very important point you make. Hepatitis A vaccine is also very important. But in terms of the sheer morbidity and mortality caused by hepatitis B, it really was a great achievement to develop that particular vaccine. Initially, it was a plasma-derived vaccine that where the antibodies actually were mounted as a result of exposure to viral protein taken from human plasma. But then they developed a recombinant vaccine. The plasma vaccine came along at a time when the concern about HIV started to develop. And so the recombinant vaccine came along just in time in the early 1980s. In fact, I was the first recipient of that vaccine from my own mentor as a GI fellow.
Fortitude to do that, but I understand. Clyde Crumpacker, that's who administered it to me in the old days. Yeah. I don't know if you knew him.
Famous name, indeed.
At Beth Israel. So yeah. Now, I was looking at your background. I've known you forever, really an awful long time. And you've done my colonoscopies, oh my goodness, I don't know, 5-6 of them over the years. Lots of fun. I didn't realize you won the American Liver Foundation's Physician of the Year Award in 2007. So I want to congratulate you 13 years late on that one, but that's a great honor. So I know you specialize in liver disease. You're an expert at hepatitis. If listeners out there have a question, want to see you, what number, where can they see you, and what phone number should they call?
Well, I'm at NYU Langone, and I practice in a beautiful ambulatory care building on East 38th Street on the east side. The number is 212-263-3095.
And say that number once again and give your website if you could.
212-263-3095. And the best way to find me is just by typing in my name, NYU Langone Health, and can do that with any NYU doctors at most big medical centers, and that's essentially my website. Faculty of physicians don't usually have private websites, but I'm proud to have the one that I have.
And I want to just say to my listeners that, while you might see Dr. Jacobson for viral disease, he does the best colonoscopies. I have to say, Ira, I didn't feel a thing, not one thing. It always is amazing to me where, the anesthesiologist will say, okay, we're going to start, and then the next thing you know, you're in the recovery room. So thank you for that.
I'm particularly grateful for that point because you have no idea how many of my patients express surprise when they have come to me for liver disease for a long time and find out I do colonoscopies. So yes, we do both very often.
And I thank you for your expertise, and I'll see you in 5 to 10 years, hopefully not sooner with that. But
okay.
Anyway, Ira Jacobson, the chief of liver medicine at NYU. Thank you so much for taking time on your Saturday evening.
Always a pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure, and I learned something from you tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye now. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. There's more to the show. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these words. Did you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books, and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my complete skincare regimen at half price. Normally, this is $150, but for WOR listeners, it's $75 plus shipping. One product in the morning and one in the evening, moisturize and clean. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that soon your friends and relatives will be asking, "What are you doing to look so good?" Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR. Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Juvederm and fill wrinkles, and I restore lips to what they used to look like. No duck lips here. And I creatively smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines. You might benefit from chemical peels or lasers to reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate your skin, or Althera to thicken your crepey skin. And for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scarf face and neck lifts. Let's sit down for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. My offices are in Somerset, New Jersey, and on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Give me a call at 732 732- 732-422-9600. That's 732-422-9600. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number is 800-321-0710. Give me a call. We're giving away bottles of Daytime. Daytime is the skin protector. There's a lot of the summer left. It's a hot one here. It's a hot one across the United States. And whenever the rule of thumb, when you need sunscreen, the rule of thumb is if the UV index is over 3, and that's publicized everywhere now. It's on your iPhone every day. It's in the weather app. It's in the newspaper if anyone still reads the pieces of paper. UV index of 3, that's what you want to look for. If it's over 3, you need sunscreen. If it's under 3, you do not need sunscreen. Despite what the dermatologists tell you, there was a very good study out of Australia about a year and a half ago that pretty much documented it's a UV index of 3. All right. On this show, I talk about cosmetic surgery. I love cosmetic surgery. I do cosmetic surgery. I've been doing it for years and years, and it is a wonderful thing for people. And a lot of people think, well, cosmetic surgery is just vanity. It actually improves self-esteem and your outlook on life. There are so many great benefits. People are happier with cosmetic surgery. But it's very important to do it right, not just from the plastic surgeon's point of view, but from your point of view. You need to stay safe. And one of the things I've talked about both in my books that I've written and in papers that I've published, scientific papers, and also my days on the Board of Medical Examiners in New Jersey and on this radio show, is how to stay safe with surgery. And there was a disturbing story in the newspaper this past week in Delray Beach, Florida. There was a death of a woman, a New Yorker, who went down there about a year or so ago. And she, for her 60th birthday, she decided to have some cosmetic surgery. She went to a well-known Delray Beach plastic surgeon whose name will be left out of this. And she had a rhinoplasty, that's nasal reshaping. She had a chin implant. She had a facelift. She had a neck lift. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, a facelift, a neck lift. But she also had a breast reduction, and she had liposuction. She had it all at once in a procedure that lasted 8 hours and 15 minutes in an outpatient office facility. And then she stayed overnight in the facility with one nurse. I think it was a nurse. It was supposed to be a nurse. Doesn't sound like she was the best nurse because of what happened. And what did happen is that the patient became unresponsive in the evening after the surgery. And they tried to do CPR, and there was a videotape of the so-called nurse doing a very poor job at CPR and not using a defibrillator and this and that. And she was transported to the hospital. She was still alive, but she died a few days later. This is a terrible story. It's a terrible story on so many levels. And it's an avoidable story. I talk about this a lot on this show because if you have cosmetic surgery, you sure want to stay safe. You want to have it be a non-eventful day in your life. You want to go through it, be better off and not worse off. And to stay safe starts right at the beginning in the consultation. When you have a consultation with a plastic surgeon, you are interviewing the plastic surgeon. The plastic surgeon is interviewing you. And it should be viewed as an interview, because this is a person who will affect your life in a very, very big way, as this person found out, unfortunately. During the consultation, you should bring all the information that will make it easy for the doctor to learn about you. So that means bring your medication list. If you have had surgery in the past, plastic surgery, bring your operative reports. Bring them. Actually request these in advance and bring them. Again, this isn't a contest to challenge the doctor. I've had so many patients come and they leave the history blank, and there's a spot for cosmetic surgery in the past and they leave it blank. And then I look at them and I see facelift scars and eyelid scars and rhinoplasty scars. And I ask them, well, did you have surgery? Oh, yes. How do you know? well, you know, I'm a plastic surgeon, I better know. But it's not a game, and it's not an opportunity to kind of keep things to yourself. This is a very, very important day for you in the consultation. So you go to the consultation, be honest, and tell the doctor exactly what you want done. And if the doctor suggests other things, well, there are a few things that are reasonable to suggest. For instance, if you have a rhinoplasty, if you're coming in for nasal reshaping, the doctor can talk about the relationship of your chin with your nose. But if you come in for a rhinoplasty and the plastic surgeon starts saying, well, you know, while you're under, you could have a breast augmentation, I would walk out of the office quite fast because that's unethical. It's not appropriate. We're not here to sell things to you. We're here to provide a service. And the service is to do what you want within reason, within reason. And I say within reason because if you ask me to remove a finger from your hand because you like the symmetry of four fingers, of course the plastic surgeon would say no. Likewise, if you ask me to put a pound of fat in your buttocks, I'm not going to be doing that. You know, the Brazilian butt lift is an unsafe procedure. And in my opinion, I've talked about this. I've been in USA Today on this topic and done podcasts. And no, I don't think that's a good procedure. So the plastic surgeon needs to be reasonable about what he or she is suggesting for you. You need to be reasonable about what you want that doctor to do. So during the consultation, you're interviewing the doctor. The doctor has a responsibility to examine you physically, also get a good history, and explain to you the risks and the benefits of the procedure, and also get some idea of your psychological makeup. And it is not discriminatory to have the doctor say, you know, it's not a good idea. You're depressed. I don't think you do well with surgery. That's not a bad thing. That is what the doctor is supposed to be doing. Because yes, there have been suicides after cosmetic surgery if things don't go perfectly well, or even if they do, if someone has a disorder called body dysmorphic disorder, it is very possible that even with a good result, you will not be happy. And that's what the disorder is all about, by the way. So the doctor has a responsibility to screen you medically, cosmetically, and psychologically, and you should be doing your homework on the doctor. And what should a good doctor provide for you? Well, first of all, you need to know where the doctor went to medical school. Yeah, it's important, of course. So is the residency that the doctor does. So if a doctor does a residency at a an unnamed place in a country that you can't pronounce the name, I mean, it may be good. I don't know. But you might not know either if the doctor does a residency at Harvard or like Dr. Jacobson did and I did. And, you know, that's a good thing, right? Because these are the best programs in the country. And there's a reason why the cream of the crop, the best doctors go to these places. So so certainly you want to know where what medical school your doctor went to, where your doctor did the residency. And then you need to know that your doctor is certified by the appropriate board. And what is the appropriate board in plastic surgery? It's the American Board of Plastic Surgery. That is the board that certifies the plastic surgeons in the United States. It's not another board. There are no other boards that certify plastic surgeons that train in plastic surgery. There's a little redundancy here, but there are other fields that learn plastic surgery, like otolaryngology, that's the American Board of Otolaryngology, or ophthalmology, that's the American Board of Ophthalmology, or even dermatology. And those are different boards. But the board that you want for your plastic surgeon, if you're coming for plastic surgery, is the American Board of Plastic Surgery. So you want that. And if your doctor is eligible, that means if he or she did a residency in plastic surgery, did all 6 years like he or she is supposed to, and is not certified by the board, there's a question about that. You should have a question. Did the doctor fail the boards? Did they not take it? Did they just think it wasn't important? You need to know this. The board certification is the minimal criterion for selecting a plastic surgeon. That doesn't mean they're great, but certainly if they are not board certified, I would wonder why. After that, I would look into the state and the state records of the doctor. How many malpractice suits has the doctor had? And is there any action that's been taken against the license of the doctor? Every state now that I know of has a database. New Jersey, New York, California, they all have databases, and you can easily find that out. You put the doctor's name in, you get on the board website, and you find that out. You also want to find out if the doctor has privileges at a hospital to do exactly what that doctor is doing to or for you. And that's very, very important, because there are doctors that don't have privileges at hospitals that are perfectly fine, by the way. They're certified and they can do those procedures in their office. But it's an outside scrutiny that is helpful to you if the doctor has privileges at a hospital to do those procedures. So those are some of the things. And of course, you could ask friends or other doctors, what do you think of this doctor? And those are some of the things that give you an idea whether or not the doctor is a good doctor and one that should be operating on you. Now, then you have to take care of yourself, because some doctors will say, you know, you need clearance by an internist prior to surgery. I require all my patients to be cleared by an internist. I'm not an internal medicine doctor. I'm a plastic surgeon. I'm good at what I do, but I'm not an internist. I want an internist. Those are the doctors that specialize in diseases and conditions in adults, the heart, lungs, kidneys, liver, like Dr. Jacobson, as we had on earlier tonight. So you want someone like that to look you over and make sure that the plastic surgeon, who has expertise in what he or she is doing, hasn't missed something important. Like, you know, how about thyroid disease that you didn't know you had? If your heart rate is racing at 110 a minute, and the doctor didn't quite realize that that might be Graves' disease. You know, you want your internist to see you beforehand. I also require my patients over the age of 60 to have a stress test, an exercise stress test. Not every doctor requires that. I think it's smart, personally, because there are some things that can happen in the operating room, and one of those is a problem with your heart. If you do have a stress test and you do well with it, then for the most part, you're not going to have a problem with your heart during surgery. And then you want to talk to the doctor about the length of time you're going to be in the operating room. And the problem in Florida, and the reason we're talking about this now, is because this particular person had 8 hours and 15 minutes of surgery. And I think that's just not a smart thing to do, particularly if you're going to be staying in an office. My attitude is that if you're having 8 hours of surgery, first of all, you should probably not. I mean, there are some procedures like body lifts that sometimes can go that long, but you really want to break up the surgery. And if you're having a tummy tuck, you want to have no other procedures with a tummy tuck. If you're having facial cosmetic surgery, 4 hours, maybe 6 hours, that's enough. I mean, there are complications like blood clots in the legs and infections and things like that that are time-related in the operating room. So that means the longer you're in the operating room, the more likely you are to have a problem. You want to set yourself up for success, not set yourself up for problems. And so that's why it's very important. I have a whole book on this topic. It's called Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery. It's still available on Amazon.com. You can look at that. You can buy it. It's very cheap. It's ridiculously cheap. I think they sell for under $10 now. And certainly you'll learn a lot, and I go into more depth there. I'm going to take a short break now. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number, 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words.
Did you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my complete skincare regimen at half price. Normally, this is $150, but for WOR listeners, it's $75 plus shipping. One product in the morning and one in the evening, moisturize and clean. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that soon your friends and relatives will be asking, "What are you doing to look so good?" Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR. Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry.
aging is inevitable, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Juvederm and fill wrinkles, and I restore lips to what they used to look like. No duck lips here. And I creatively smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines. You might benefit from chemical peels or lasers to reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate your skin, or Althera to thicken your crepey skin. And for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scarf face and neck lifts. Let's sit down for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. My offices are in Somerset, New Jersey, and on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Give me a call at 732-422-9600. That's 732-422-9600. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, host of this show for a long time now. I hope you're enjoying it. And every Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. I have not yet opened my Manhattan office with COVID, and I'm wrestling what to do with that office because it's kind of hard to socially distance in the Manhattan office. We're open in New Jersey. We do all the things necessary to keep you healthy. Everybody gets tested before they come and see me. We do that for you. We do that for my office staff. We do that for me. It's very important. Every hospital in New York, the same thing. But we want to know that you're not positive with COVID. We're getting one of those machines in about 6 weeks or so. It's going to take a while. That will give us a 15-minute result, and we'll know immediately whether or not someone's positive. Certainly, you don't want general anesthesia if you're COVID positive. All right, we've got JP on the line. That's JP. What's your wrinkle? What can I do for you?
Oh, yes, hi, doctor. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting some of the fillers, because right now I have a lot of sagging lines on the jowl side, on the end of the jaw there, and I'm also having different kinds of lines in my forehead. All of a sudden, they just crept up on me.
They crept up. How old are you, JP? JP, what's your name? Is that really what people call you, JP?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, JP, how old are you?
I'm over 70 now.
What over 70? What is over 70? Give me a number.
About 73.
Okay, because it makes a difference. It really does. What we do. So 73, and have you had any cosmetic surgery?
Not at all, okay. No. As a matter of fact, I've had perfect skin. I used to go to a dermatologist when I was younger, When I was much younger, I used to go every week. But then all of a sudden, all of these lines have appeared. And I just, I see these ads for fillers and all of that kind of thing. Just don't know much about it, and that's what I wanted to ask you about.
All right. So wrinkles of the face, that is what we all do in plastic surgery. That's a big part of our practice. It's a huge part of mine. So there's a lot of different ways to treat wrinkles. But in the year 2020, I'll tell you, the fillers are really almost magical when we treat wrinkles. I hate to use superlatives like that because it gets a little funny when you do. But honestly, I have been doing a lot of filler since 2003. The first good one, the hyaluronic acid filler called Restylane, was FDA approved. Shortly thereafter, a couple of years later, Juvederm came out. And fillers absolutely revolutionized the way we treat wrinkles. Before that, we filled wrinkles with collagen. Collagen was such a temporary fix. Sometimes it lasted only a few weeks, really, maybe a few months if you were lucky. The new fillers, the new Juvederm, lasts a year. The data that came out last year was about 66, 67% of people maintained the result at about a year, which is very good. Yes, you might want longer than that, but permanence is something we actually don't want with filler, because if you do have an issue, then the issue is also permanent if it's a permanent filler. So I don't believe in using the plastic materials. There is one called Bellafill, and it's methyl methacrylate, which is really very good if you're fixing a window, but I don't know about putting it in your face personally, so I don't use that one. I use hyaluronic acid. And the way I do filler, is different than the way a lot of plastic surgeons do filler. I do a very comprehensive, I have a comprehensive approach. I numb you up like a dentist does. There's four nerves inside the mouth. We get you pretty numb so that most of my patients, I'd say over 90% of my patients do not feel anything when I'm doing the 300, 400, 500, 600 injections. That's right. I said a lot of injections into your face because I use something called a micro droplet technique. And that means I inject a lot of little tiny drops. The amount that I inject in any one injection is probably about what would fit on the head of a pin. And that's why I don't get, for the most part, don't get lumps after this. I have to say I've had one person with hyaluronic acid after doing many, many thousands that did get lumps, and that's a reaction to the hyaluronic acid as opposed to putting in too much in a particular spot. Very, very rare, but I got my first one after telling people for 17 years I haven't had one. So, you know, everyone gets one now and then. But the hyaluronic acid that I inject, I put into the wrinkles around the mouth. Do you have the radial lines around your mouth like spokes of a wheel?
No, I have it like down on the chin. You know, I have the deep lines around my chin there.
Okay, so marionette lines, the ones that extend from the corner of the mouth down to the bottom of the chin?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So those are marionette lines. You know, they're named after, remember Howdy Doody? Remember that? If you're 73, you remember Howdy Doody. So he was a marionette, and when his jaw moved up and down, he had those lines, and that's where that word comes from, the marionette line. So those are particularly troubling to people. So what I usually put in those is two different types of fillers. So I will fill the superficial wrinkle with something called Volbella now. That's one of the Juvederm type of, I wish they were a sponsor, by the way. They're not. They should be. I hope they're listening. But Volbella is a very good filler for fine wrinkles. But then we need something to really push up the deeper tissue. And I'll use a thicker material. They're all hyaluronic acid. The one I use in that location is called Volure. Sounds like a TV show. I think it's spelled V-O-L-L-U-R-E. Now, there's a lot of different fillers out there. I think the Juvederm fillers right now have the best data. Restylane has products called Refine and Define. They're very good also. But I think those are the two companies that have the best fillers. And which one you use, that depends on the selection by your plastic surgeon. Neither is wrong. You know, if one uses one filler, one uses another, that's okay. And there are a lot of other fillers out there. So I fill the nasolabial folds. Those are the lines between the corner of the nose and the corner of the mouth, the marionette lines. And if you're 73, I can guarantee you that you have very little definition between your lip, the red of your lip, and the white above your lip. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you're human. So what I do is I then put the filler along the ridge. It's called the vermilion border, which goes away as you get older. And I reestablish that. And what that does is it decreases the rate of development of further wrinkles when we have a nice line there. So do you have any children?
No, I don't.
Okay. So then you're going to have to go and find a child of a friend of yours, someone about 20 years old. Ask her first. Run your finger along the upper lip, and you'll feel that ridge, that vermilion border, which you do not have. We want to put that back. Always ask that person before you put your finger on her lip, however. So then go ahead, and you'll feel that. We want to put that back, and that also reestablishes something called a Cupid's bow. A Cupid's bow, those are the two peaks of your upper lip, which you had when you were 20, you had when you were 40, but by the time you're 60, they kind of go away. And then you lose volume in your lip also. Now, a lot of people are very afraid when we talk about putting filler in the lips. They don't want to look like a duck. They don't want to look like some of those Hollywood types that just look terrible. And that is where the artistry of the doctor comes in. And the doctor that takes those two-hour courses with a half-hour coffee break, I don't know, you know, and in the previous life was an emergency room doctor or a pediatrician or something, I don't know about. But, you know, or a dentist, I'm sorry, my dental friends, I don't think they should be doing these sort of things. And aestheticians, believe it or not, and nurses, there's all sorts of people doing these procedures. And that is why there are so many bad results when you walk around the Upper East Side of Manhattan and Beverly Hills. My goodness, there are, and just watch TV, you'll see these terrible results. So we want to give you an artistic result. We want to give you a normal-looking face, and that requires artistry, and it requires the expertise, I think, of a plastic surgeon or a dermatologist who's very good at this, or a properly trained facial plastic surgeon, ENT, or even a properly trained oculoplastic doctor. Those are the four doctors that do these procedures, and of course, not all of them do it well. Even plastic surgeons might not do them well if they're not artistic and don't have the expertise in this. But then, by the way, when you were talking about your jawline, I like to use filler along the jawline to decrease the visibility of the jowl. It's one of the nice things we can do with filler. And sometimes I'll even use a very thick filler called Voluma, which is even thicker than the velour. There are different textures and viscosities. That's the word of these different fillers. So there's a lot of artistry in this. It takes me about an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes to do. I don't believe in the 15-minute procedure. You know, we want it to look really good. You will swell a little bit for maybe a day. You'll be bruised for several days. You can put makeup on the next day or just put your mask on and go about your business. So that is a primer on what to do with those wrinkles. The other techniques are lasers and things like that, but we'll get into that in next week's show because we're at the end of our show. Noah begins to flail about with his hands saying he's worried I'm going to go over my time limit. I want to thank you for the phone call, and I want to thank listeners tonight for listening. My website is periplasticsurgery.com. If you've been having trouble with the products, we are redesigning the website. Yes, it will be redesigned, and on by Wednesday, it should be up and running. Give the office a call to order the products in the meantime. Thanks so much for great engineering. Don't forget the stock up sale. Stock up. That's the code you have to use to get the discounted daytime. Thanks, Noah. We'll see everybody next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.